Well, I was really saddened to hear that whilst I was away, Ellen had gone to join her father, and no one could wish her back to continue that awful suffering. My one abiding thought about Ellen is what an amazing woman of God that she was. If anyone has a lasting impression on me about putting God first in our lives, that would be Ellen, no matter what she was going through. Ellen breathed God with every breath she took. When I used to visit Ellen, I always felt I'd actually gained more than I'd been given, you know, I was giving. I'd actually gained more from her than I had brought. And I'm sure so many of you must feel the same. She taught us so much about her God and the sheer joy she got from him. And the devil tried so hard to take her joy. And there were times he might have thought that he had the upper hand, but her God won through every time, as she was a devoted believer. Can we say, honestly, hand on heart, that there's never been a time when we've doubted the wisdom of God in a situation? Or even wondered if he's really there? Ellen was a steadfast believer who touched many lives, a good and faithful servant who is now in a place of absolute joy and peace. C.S. Lewis had this famous saying, "Pain is God's megaphone to a deaf world." I always struggled with this. How can a loving God use pain to steer a life? The two things don't sit easily side by side. And whilst I was away last week, I spent a couple of days at my friends Ray and Claire's farm, where I listened to Louis Giglio's take on exactly that. And I actually needed to hear it at that time. He unpacked it in a way that finally made sense. And the title of the DVD I was watching, and do try and get it if you can, is Hope When Life Hurts Most. I fed on John's gospel whilst away, John 15:4, that I needed to remain in him, for without him I can do nothing. And when we're very busy and going through difficult stuff, it's easy to fail to read God's word. Things take such a place in your head that sometimes God's word isn't always first place. I'd always looked at this verse, that I need to remain in him, for without him I can do nothing. I always looked at that with an understanding that I needed to remain in the word in order to gain his power for all things. However, when the devil chucks boulders at you and tries his hardest to take you down, it's really hard to stay focused. But that's exactly the time to really stand on this verse. In our times of trial, I learnt the value of only by doing this will we really get through all the tut in our lives and experience how God never leaves you alone in the mess. He is truly your strength. What an amazing God we have. Every step of a painful journey, whatever it is, whether it's ill health and finally the death of our earthly form, like Ellen, or other problems in life that seem unsurmountable at the time, God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful in his promises. I look back now over my last 8 weeks and I see God's hand manoeuvring people in such a way that despite the incredible problems I faced, a support system had been put in place. The right people in all the right places. Chaos reigned, and yet there in the midst of it all was peace. Louis reminded me in his teaching that my peace is only found in Jesus. I am exhausted. Trauma of any kind tires us. But as long as I keep things in perspective by putting my main focus on the power of the cross and the truth of God's promises, I will stand. I'm not going to say that this is always easy. Jesus never said that being a Christian would be an easy ride. And we should never advertise Christianity as a fix-all solution to all life's problems. In this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus actually says in John 16, I have overcome the world. And Louis Giglio said, when stuff hits you, and I loved this bit, he said, you need to get eyeball to eyeball with a cross. Eyeball to eyeball with a cross. Turning to the cross, not other alternatives. Because it was at the cross that the work was done. We there can see just how much we're loved, how precious we each are, no matter what we've done. In reflection on the last few weeks, I can only give honour and praise to a wonderful God who arranged every solution to each and every problem. I've learnt more about God in the last 8 weeks of pain than I have at any other time. He orchestrated everything as the boulders came hurtling towards me. But yes, I'm tired. And a drop of water is going to help here. Now I'm back and I'm ready to focus on those last few months until October with you, knowing that you are shaped. Do you know that? You are shaped and steered by the most amazing God who loves you. And he's eagerly waiting to take you to the next level. We have our Holy Spirit session with Alpha this evening, and it looks like we've got a full house for that event, and I'm excited. And thanks to Jackie and Lee, we have our chef extraordinaire. And he's going to feed us with great food. And Annie's going to lead us as we feed on another of the promises of God, the Holy Spirit. Please pray for the team and the participants as we spend time in God's presence this evening. There is much I want to share with you before shuffling off into retirement. I'm not going to be gone all the time. I am going to keep hopping in, and I will be part of this congregation. You cannot get rid of me by letting me retire. And I want to make the best use of the time that we've got left as your pastor. We're all moving along in our Christian journey, no matter where we are on it. It's a progressive thing. It's not a standing still exercise. It's progressive. And I want you to be thinking about that. Where are you on your journey? And this morning I want to leave you with these scriptures from the Old Testament. And I'm going to ask our readers to just read through all this passage from... It's in bits and pieces, incidentally. It's not every single verse. I've picked some. So thank you, Peter.
Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified.
For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines.
David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what I have done," said David, "can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him.
David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into his hands."
As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran.
Thank you. I know that was a long reading, but it was worth the hearing. And I know there's bits and pieces we've missed out, but we've got the essence of it there. And I think that goes where I want to go this morning. Who, what are your demons? And think about that for a moment. What is it in your life that is this colossal thing? Think about what you've been trained for. The story shows how David had been trained for many years to care for the sheep by fighting the animals who attacked them. He was used to it. It was his life. It's what he did. Look at how God may have been preparing you through all your past years. I can track mine right from hairdressing. That gave me the skills of communication and nobody's been able to shut me up since. Study. That gave me discipline in the word. Prison work introduced me to some nasty as well as colourful characters. Can you stand up now and in the name of Jesus slay the devil's minions, because they're all around? I'm going to tell you something now, which I've always gone to. The holy armor gives you the method. The sword, which is the word of God, will always be the way ahead in dealing with the devil and his lies. He comes at you with twisted bits. What is it the enemy wants to steal from you? Your peace? Your faith? For those of you who haven't reached the point of opening the door to your heart and allowing Jesus to really take up residence, Satan wants to continue to keep you in that place. Darkness. We need to be well rooted in the gospel of peace. And we need to really understand that we need to come to him in an attitude of worship. The valley in the story of David and Goliath belonged to Judah. Judah means praised. Work from a place of praise. Can you see a bit about that story now? How much David was winning back to get in the place of praise. He honoured God. He glorified God. Praising God in all circumstances is crucial to the outcome of your difficulties. We don't always get that. We focus on the difficulties. Move your vision. Move to a place of praise, thanking and glorifying God. It's hard when you're going through it, but it truly works. And get among people who praise God well. Meet with, spend time with people of God that have a heart of praise. It'll rub off on you. Who you spend a lot of time with is reflected in you. Sometimes we need to make decisions about who we're going to spend most of our time with. My boss told me years ago that people came in two categories, drains and radiators. And of course you mix with both, but you need to get the balance right. Drains tend to drain you and radiators feed you. And yes, we're called to help people, and yes, they will drain you. However, we mustn't get the balance out of kilter, or you'll not be able to help when you're needed. Prison contained a lot of drains, but my social life was largely with Christians at that time. I really think that's important. Look at what is surrounding you, who you're interacting with all the time. Sometimes you need to step back and feed from God's people. The last scripture I want to leave with you, and I'm going to read it, is just one verse. Jeremiah 33:11. The sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Praising brings promises to pass in our own lives and in the life of the church. We really felt we've had some promises for God, and we are moving forward. And God is blessing this community. Keep praising, even though it seems there's no difference. Be faithful in our praising. Daniel's angel in Daniel 10:12 took 21 days to reach him because he was fighting the forces of evil. Never think your prayer has not been heard just because it hasn't been answered yet. God is on your case. Mm. To conclude, I just want to share this with you that I really think God has given me. We are not feeble. We are not cannon fodder for the enemy. We can stand our ground in faith. We can fight with the weapons we have. The holy armor of God. The knowledge of our salvation in our head. The breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ bought for us at the cross. The belt of truth. Keep truth out there and in the open. The trusty sword of the Spirit. The word of God. And the shield of faith. And your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Ready to go and tell in either word or deed. We're called to share our faith with those around us. The enemy has gained enough ground in Brightlingsea. Mm-hmm. And we can be a people of praise who can regain the ground, just like David did from the Philistines. Let's pray.